Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and editorial review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please visit our webpage. It's georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and editorial review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on natural disasters when we come back. Well, how many laws did Moses give us in the Mosaic Law? And how many laws has our state and federal government given us in our secular government? Well, Moses gave us 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments. The state, at last count, has given us 2.5 million laws. 2.5 million. Now, the Apostle Peter said that we ought to obey God rather than men. We see that in Acts 5, verse 29. And Congress has said that we ought to voluntarily apply the teachings of the Scripture in the lives of families, individuals, and societies. And our Supreme Court has said that there is a higher loyalty than loyalty to this country, and that is loyalty to God. And they said that in Seeger versus United States. Every authority is in agreement. Congress, the Supreme Court, and God Almighty Himself, the Scripture, is the final authority on law. Now, if you'd like to learn these 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments and how to use them against government intrusion into your God-given rights, it's a right, it's a duty, it's an obligation that we owe to ourselves and our families and our society. And here at the law school, we teach all 759 of these statutes, judgments, and commandments, along with the penalties for the violation of these laws. Now, why don't you make it a point to regain your First Amendment right to free exercise? And the First Amendment is the gateway to the Second and the Third and the Fifth and your whole Bill of Rights. The law of God may be old, but it's not old-fashioned, and it is very relevant to our lives and very relevant to our rights today. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package? That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge, and you can call and order yours right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Now, the Mosaic Law School is available on compact disc for adult home study, and if you're online, you can go to the website, georgegordon.org. It's an easy one, georgegordon.org. Then just click onto the email machine and send an email request for your free general law CD package. Remember, georgegordon.org or call direct, 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about natural disasters. Disasters come in three major forms. That is, natural disasters. They're weather-related. They can be floods, droughts, hurricanes, tornadoes, etc. Or they're geologic in nature. They're earthquakes. They're volcanoes. And the third one is disease, plagues, disease, epidemics, pandemics. By far and away, the disaster that causes the most deaths are diseases. People have died from diseases by the hundreds of millions over the millennium. When we talk about the bubonic plague, we're talking about 100 million people dead in the Middle Ages. And that's just from one bubonic plague event. There have been several bubonic plague events. Today, we're faced with two big pandemics. One is the AIDS pandemic. The second is the flu pandemic, this new avian flu. We went through one of those flu pandemics back in 1918, 1919. That killed 100 million people worldwide, maybe more, but conservatively, they identify 20 to 30 million in the Western world. That's the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, you know, all the Israelite countries, 20 to 30 million. And then they take and extrapolate that around the world where the death rates in some locations, not all, but in some locations like Gambia in Africa, in 1919, the death rate was 20%. You know, that's unheard of. That's unreal. 20% mortality rate. Now, when we talk about bubonic plague, the mortality rate ran 50 to 75%, unless it got to be pneumonic, in which case it went up to 90, and if it was systemic, then it went up to 95. There have been some diseases that kill 100%, not many, but a few. But the Spanish flu only killed 0.6%, about 0.5% of white Anglo-Saxons in the Western world, but it killed 20% of black Africans. The AIDS epidemic isn't having much of an effect in the United States and Canada and the Western world, but it's having a traumatic effect in the undeveloped third world and particularly in Africa. Now, I live my life and I'm just as concerned about getting sick and dying from a disease. After all, it doesn't make any difference if you get killed in a hurricane or an earthquake or with a disease. You're just as dead. And the objective here is that we want to live for 25,550 days. That's what each and every one of us is offered. That's what each and every one of us can achieve if we follow a few basic simple rules. In the Bible, God says, you practice my law, and I'll give you long life. How much is long life? 70 years, 80 if you're strong, 25,550 days with no disease. If you get sick, you broke a law, or you couldn't have gotten sick. Now, in the last program, I raised a very sensitive issue. Theologians and religious people are loath to blame God for natural disasters. I wanted to raise the issue because who else? It's either one, God created the earthquake in northern Pakistan, or two, he didn't prevent it. And that's pretty obvious, isn't it? If he caused it, we ought to ask why. And if he didn't prevent it, we ought to ask why. Are earthquakes natural? We call them natural disasters. Are we supposed to have disease epidemics, earthquakes, and storms of 150-mile-an-hour winds? This last hurricane of the season, Wilma, hit 175 miles an hour. It was the most powerful hurricane ever recorded in the Western Hemisphere, 175-mile-an-hour winds. Category 5. And then it lessened up. By the time it got to Florida, it was down to Category 2 or 3. But ask yourself the question, are these events natural? Or are they caused by, and if they're caused by, why are they caused by, who? We call it nature. Well, who in the hell is nature? Is nature somebody that we can call on the telephone? Can we make contact with nature? Or is there a God out there, whether he's Allah or Buddha or Jesus or Zeus or Bibble or Amun-Ra or who in the hell you're praying to, is there a God out there somewhere out of all these many, many gods that people have here in the world and they worship these gods? Is there one of them out there that causes hurricanes and could, if he put his mind to it, stop them? Well, in the first 14 verses of Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26, two chapters, one of the benefits that you're entitled to is rain in due season. I would contend that a storm that dumps 12, 18, 24 inches of rain on you is not rain in due season. I would contend that a storm that produces 100-mile-an-hour winds and blows your house down is not a blessing. That is a curse. Now, there's somebody here in the Bible that says, I'm able to do these things and I do them, and I'm gonna spell this out with fury. Let me give you a couple of illustrations here, and then let's take a look at these diseases, and let's keep in mind that maybe there's somebody out here that's ticked off at us. And if that's the case, don't you think maybe we ought to do something about that? Here in Leviticus 26, he starts off here, and he says, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, I'll give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall reach to the vintage shall reach to the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread to the full, and you shall dwell in your land safely. Boys and girls, when you're living in the path of a hurricane, you are not dwelling in your land safely. A tornado that comes through your neck of the woods is not safe. It's dangerous. You don't want to be around that. He says, I'll give you peace in the land, you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. I'll rid evil beasts out of the land, and neither shall the sword go through your land. You know that war over in Iraq? That's not safety. That's a dangerous place to be. God said, you practice my law. Notice the requirement. If you walk in my statutes, and if you keep my commandments and do them, here's what I'm going to do for you. Now, let's ask this question. You people down there in New Orleans, are you obeying God and keeping his commandments? Do you practice the Sabbath? Do you practice the annual holy days in Leviticus 23? Do you practice the Passover, the days of unleavened bread, the Feast of Weeks, the Day of Atonement, Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Tabernacles, the last great day? Do you practice the statutes and judgments such as Leviticus 19:19 and Leviticus 19:35 and 36 and Deuteronomy 25:13 through 16? I mean, do you practice these statutes, judgments, and commandments? Because Jesus said over in Matthew 5, verses 19 and 20, 5, 17, 18, 19, 20, he said, if you think that he came to abolish the law or the prophets, you got it wrong. He said, think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. He went a step further. He said, if you violate one of these least commandments, I mean, if you take the least commandment, you fail to carry a paddle on your side and bury your excrement. If you fail to carry a blue thread on the four quarters of your garments, a tassel, I'm going to call you the least in the kingdom of heaven. I don't see very many people running around with blue tassels on their garments. I don't see people that are concerned about or avoid mixed fabric clothing. I don't see people loathing and eschewing paper money, commercial paper, stocks, bonds, negotiable instruments, and other evidences of debt, credit cards. I don't see people doing that anywhere in America, much less in New Orleans. Now, you guys down in New Orleans might be saying, well, why did God pick on us? How come he didn't get the guys up in Seattle? Be patient. He will. He will. You people up in Seattle are living right next to a great big mountain called Rainier. That's a volcano, and it's going to go off one of these days. Now, the question arises, is there a God in heaven that could prevent Mount Rainier from going off, like Mount St. Helens, and protect you people in Seattle, Tacoma, Puyallup, and etc., from the disaster, the catastrophe that will occur if that mountain goes off like Mount St. Helens? Now, I want to point something out to you here. Yeah, I'm in Leviticus chapter 26. First 13 verses, he says, now, here's what I'm going to do for you. But listen to what he says if you don't want to do this. In other words, if you say to yourself, well, I don't think I want to practice this law. I think I want to be a Catholic, Protestant, or Jew. I think I want to be normal. I don't want to be one of these wild-haired, wild-eyed fanatics. I don't want to practice the law of God. I want to practice the religion of the Lutherans. I want to practice the religion of the Protestants. In verse 14, he makes another statement. He said, if you will not hearken unto me and do all of these commandments, and if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments, so that you will not do all of my commandments, but that you break my covenant, if you violate the terms of my contract, here's what I'm going to do to you. Now, I hear religious people are talking about Jesus, and they talk about Jesus loves you, and you listen to some guy on television, you know, some of these religious guys, and they'll say, Jesus loves you. He just wants to save you. He wants to take you to heaven. And they get kind of emotional, you know. And they talk about the love of Jesus and one thing and another. Well, now, here's this Jesus in the Old Testament. And go to John 1, verse 1, where it talks about who this Jesus was. Jesus was the God that talked to Moses. Jesus is the guy that gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. Jesus is the guy that killed those 70,000 when David took a census. And the reason that he killed those 70,000 is because they were accessories before and accessories after the fact. Now, I had a census lady come by, and she wanted to count me and my family. And I said, lady, I don't think you know what you're doing. Don't you know that it's against the law to number Israel? And she looked at me like I was stupid. She said to me, why, it's the law. You have to participate in the census. I didn't tell her, you know, that I run a law school. I didn't tell her I knew anything about the law. I said, can you tell me where that law is located? She didn't know. And I said, well, I think it's in Title 13, Section 225D. I think that's where the law is that you're looking for. And I'm going to tell you right now, lady, I'm not going to participate in the census because it's against the law. Now, I'm a religious objector, so write that down. Well, she left, and I never heard from her again. I guess she went and talked to her supervisor. Now, I don't know how many people there are in the United States, but they undercounted by four, and they didn't count my family. And I wouldn't participate in it because it violates the law of God. Now, the average guy, he doesn't see that that's against the law. I just wanted to point out that the census law is a fairly minor law. It's not something big time, you know, like killing somebody or robbing a bank. It's just, you know, getting counted and telling this nice lady how many bathrooms you got in your house and how many miles you drive to work and what kind of a car you drive. I mean, it's just a few odds and ends, a few pieces of information. And here's this Gordon, this wild-eyed religious fanatic, and won't participate in the census. And that's because Section 225D of Title 13 makes an exemption for religious objectors, and I'm one of them. God has always made a way for those people who want to obey him and keep his commandments. There's always a but-sept in the law, the state law. They come out and they say, you have to have your kid vaccinated. There's a but-sept in the law. It's against the law to have your kid vaccinated. Violates the law of God. So the state comes along and says, well, we want you to violate the law of God. The state and federal governments are working their little hearts out getting you to violate the law of God. And, of course, that has some penalties that go along with it. There's no such thing as a broken law without a penalty. And disease is one of those penalties. I'm going to show you that. In Exodus 15:26. Just jot that one down if you don't have a Bible and you can't find it and so on. Exodus 15, verse 26. Listen to this. This is the God of Abraham. He says, and he said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Eternal your God and will do that which is right in his sight, and if you will give ear to his commandments, and if you will keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you which I have brought upon the Egyptians, because I'm the Eternal that healeth thee. Now that's why I'm asking the question, hey, did it ever occur to you people that maybe AIDS, maybe the Spanish flu, was brought upon us by God because we did not keep his commandments? Because right there he says, now listen, boys and girls, you practice my law, I won't put these diseases on you. Furthermore, he says, you're entitled to 25,550 days of life. I will give you, it's one of your 33 articulable benefits. There's 33 benefits that you're entitled to. You practice this law, God says, I'm going to do these 33 things for you. And if you don't practice my law, here's what I'm going to do to you. Now let's take a look at some of these things he says he's going to do to us. So he starts off in verse 16. He says, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, and your enemy shall eat it. That's disease. That's disease. And then there's a political problem called you'll sow your seed in vain, and your enemies will eat it. Now here on the one hand, he says, I won't lay these diseases on you if you practice my law. If you don't practice my law, I'm going to lay these diseases on you that are incurable. Consumption. That's TB. He says, I'll set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when none pursues. And if you will not yet for all of this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. I'll multiply this by sevenfold. Now you talk about sweet Jesus, you know, way in the manger. Talk about Jesus loves you. Has anybody ever wondered, what does the Bible say about love? What is love? Has anybody ever wondered about that? Is love going over and laying your neighbor's wife when your neighbor is gone from home, you're over there banging his wife? Is that love? I mean, after all, you love her and she loves you. Well, the Bible tells you in 1 John 5, verse 3, it says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. If you loved your neighbor, you wouldn't commit adultery with him or with her, with his wife. If you loved your neighbor, you wouldn't steal his lawnmower. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Well, that's what the Bible says it is. Now, of course, if you want to listen to your preacher, he's got five other definitions. I'm not here to compete with preachers. I'm just here to tell you what the Bible says. Go read it for yourself. Sin is the transgression of the law. 1 John 3, 4. Sin is. You want to know what the definition of sin is? Go ask your preacher. Hey, preacher, what is sin? And then listen to him. And then, is sin the transgression of the law? How come the Bible says sin is the transgression of the law, preacher? How come the Bible says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments? How come commandment keeping is love? You know, like thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not covet, and so on. Now, this Leviticus 26 is called the penal clause to the contract. Back in olden days, God made a tender offer to your great-great-great-great-granddaddy 84 generations ago. 84 times 40 years. 84 generations ago, your great-great-great-granddaddy was standing out there at Mount Sinai. God pitched him an offer, and he said, this is your great-granddaddy, he said, all that the Eternal has said, we will do and be obedient. That's called the Old Covenant. Now, that Old Covenant and the benefits that flow from it inure to the heirs and assigns forever. Forever. I don't know how long forever is, but I do know this. Taint up yet. Still going on. Taint up yet. So here in Leviticus 26, the big guy up in the sky, he says, now you practice my law, follow my instructions, and I won't lay any of these diseases on you. You get crosswise with me, and I'm going to lay these diseases on you, like the consumption and the burning ague, AIDS, Alzheimer's disease, cancer, heart attack, and stroke. And if you still get uppity with me, I'll punish you seven times more. I'm going to lay it on you like you ain't been laid on before. Now, you can talk about sweet Jesus away in the manger, and you can talk about God loving you, but that's pretty damn tough love, I'd say. And by the time you get an earthquake killing 70,000 people up in northern Pakistan, I'd say that's pretty tough love, because this Allah guy, whoever he is, wasn't able to prevent that earthquake. And it looks like to me that the God of Abraham laid that earthquake on those people and killed 70,000 of them, and he ain't done with them yet. And it makes you kind of wonder, what in the world did those people do that ticked this God off so bad that he's killing men, women, and children? Now, you stop and think about all those little children in school. Remember that story? There's this little kid. He's buried down in here about five stories down. And a French team of rescuers, they've got a dog. They've got a bunch of dogs there. And then they've got this TV camera, and they're fishing around down in here. And they found this little kid down in an air pocket, five stories down. I think it was 40, 50 feet. And they went to dig him out, and they dug him out. And he was the last survivor in this town, last guy that they dug out. What has God got against these little kids? That he would cause an earthquake. Or if he didn't cause it, he didn't prevent it. And let all those little kids die. Well, all except that one. And I guess you'd have to call that time and chance, because the kid just happened to be in the right place at the right time, and when the building collapsed around him, he got caught in an air pocket. Wasn't even injured. Probably scared him bad, but didn't injure. You ever wonder about that? Preachers were down there in after Hurricane Katrina, and they said, well, God's ways are just beyond knowing. We just don't know what God's up to. Well, shucks, boys and girls, I'm just an old country boy, and I know exactly what he's up to, because he tells you right here in the Bible what he's up to. He's up to kicking ass. That's what he's up to. And if you people down there in Biloxi and Gulfport and New Orleans ain't figured that out yet, you're suffering from terminal brain damage. Having a 30-foot wave wash in, destroy your house, and kill half the people around you ain't a blessing now, is it? If I had a preacher down there telling me that kind of crap, I'd throw his ass out of town, out of the church. That guy's suffering from terminal stupidity. Now listen to this. In Exodus chapter 20, this is called the Ten Commandments. And these Ten Commandments over here, he not only tells you what the law is, he gives you a little editorial comment along with it. And then with this editorial comment, he makes a statement over here. He says in verse 4, for instance, he said, "You shall not make unto you any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that's in the water under the earth. And you shall not bow down yourself to them, nor serve them, because I, the Eternal, the living God, I'm a jealous God." Have you ever heard that God was jealous before? Yeah, he says, "I am a jealous God, and I visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And I show mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." Yeah, that's a mouthful. That's the Ten Commandments. I bet you never heard that before. You can read it for yourself in full-blown panoramic black and white. It'll be right there in your Bible. Let me read it to you again. Pay attention now. I ask the question, why would God kill all of those women and children, all of those little innocent children in school in Pakistan, and the earthquake came and killed 70,000 people, including pregnant women? Did you know that? I'll bet you there was a bunch of pregnant women there. I'll bet you there was young girls and boys and all kinds of just young, innocent little children, four-year-old girls, three-year-old girls, little babies in arms. Now, pay attention here. I can't speak for Allah, and I can't speak for Buddha, but you know, I can tell you what this guy has got on his mind, because he tells you right here. Verse 4, he says, "You shall not make unto you any graven image, or any likeness of anything that's in the heaven above, or that's in the earth beneath, or that's in the waters under the earth. And you shall not bow down yourself to them, nor serve them." He says, "I am the Eternal, your God. I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." This guy does not like Allah. This guy does not like Buddha. And he does not like Zeus or any of these other gods out here. He says, "I'm pretty jealous. And I won't put up with that crap for a minute. And because these people practice idolatry, they worship some other god other than this God. They practice a different law than the law of this God. This is called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I mean, this guy, he doesn't take no crap off of nobody. He's kind of like John Wayne toilet paper. He's rough, he's tough, and he don't take no you-know-what off of nobody. So if you want to know why these people are being punished, why little children are being killed, it's because he tells you very plainly, "I'm a jealous God, and I'm putting up with this idolatry crap." You want to worship Allah, Pakistan, New York, and stand up and praise the Statue of Liberty, watch out, boys and girls, because I'm going to eat your lunch. Now, there was a time in America when we didn't practice idolatry. Well, at least not to the limits that we are today. You know, we used to keep sodomites and queers and others, deviates and bestiality practitioners and idol worshippers and so on. We used to kind of keep them under wraps. Today, we parade them up and down our streets like Mardi Gras and down in Key West, you know, where these guys are running around stark, buck-ass naked, trying to show off their licentious behavior. Now, you know, there's a limit to how far that can go. Now, I don't know how far the limit is or what the limit is. I'm just telling you right here from the scripture that there's a reason why Hurricane Katrina, there's a reason why there is an earthquake in northern Pakistan and a tsunami in the Indian Ocean, and why these events are occurring more often and they're becoming more and more severe. We ought to start thinking about it. I'm not telling you people down in New Orleans not to have Mardi Gras. I don't care. I'm not going down to practice Mardi Gras with you, and I'm going to stay as far away from New Orleans as I can get. I'm going to stay as far away from Sodom and Gomorrah as is practicable. And you people that are living in Sodom and Gomorrah ought to take warning from this guy, because when it comes, you're not going to get any warning. When it comes, you're going to get it, but there's no warning. Now, the warning comes from the Scripture. The warning comes, "I'm going to tell you, here's what I'm going to do to you." Now, Leviticus 26 tells you, "Here's what I'm going to do to you." I'm just telling you that's where it's located. You can take the warning and do whatever you want with it. "It's no skin off my back," as one old teacher used to tell me. He said, "No skin off my back, son." Well, let me give you a reminder here. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our webpage. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. It's an easy one, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It's open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, For more information, go to the webpage. That's the homeschooling page on the website. Now, the Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date, and you can download them in 16 and 32-bit format, MP3. There's another one, too, but MP3, I remember. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. Remember, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please go to the law school or call the law school rather direct. It's area code 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. And then the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or of this local radio station. That's because they're all normal. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website, remember, georgegordon.org, or call the law school direct at 417-273-4967, talking about disease and pandemics. So I first wanted to broach the subject so that as we get into these diseases over here and you wonder, well, why would God do such a thing? It's because he's a jealous God and he ain't taking any crap off of anybody, and you're giving him the finger and he's ticked off. And he's telling us that very plainly. Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 lays it right out in spades. Spades, I tell you. Now let's take a look here at pandemics, because we not only have a pandemic running around the world right now called AIDS, we are faced with 12 more of these pandemics. 12! I just boggled my mind the other day. I saw a report come in here with a list of diseases that scientists in the Center for Disease Control and the National Health Institute believe are fearful of, are telling us, oh my God, we think that these diseases may go pandemic. And I said, yeah, that's probably right. That's exactly what God told us in the Bible. He said, I'm going to lay these diseases on you. I am going to kill 90% of the people on planet Earth. Did you know that God, the Creator, I'm not talking about, you know, Jesus and Allah and Buddha and these other gods over, I'm talking about the God of Abraham, this guy that wrote the Ten Commandments. This guy says, I'm going to kill 90% of you people on planet Earth before I make my return, my grand entrance, called the Second Coming. And that just kind of fits in with the Club of Rome program and the New World Order program. They, too, are using the term 90%. There's various other numbers in there as well as 90, but I just thought I'd point that out, and I did that in a couple of programs, one called the Global 2000. I did that a couple of years ago, and then just 3 or 4 weeks ago, I did another story here on this 90% story. So, you know, you start tucking these little bits and pieces in your heart, and you start putting them together, and then little by little, it starts to tell you, hey, there's a big story going on out here in this pandemic here called Common Killers and Pandemics. A disease or a condition is not a pandemic specifically because it kills a large number of people. For example, the class of diseases known as cancer is responsible for a large number of deaths, but the deaths and disabilities due to cancer are not considered a pandemic because the condition is not infectious, although certain infectious agents are known to increase cancer risk. So according to the World Health Organization, also known as WHO, a pandemic can start when three conditions have been met. Three conditions. One, it's the emergence of a disease new to the population. Two, the agent infects humans, causing serious illness. And three, the agent spreads easily and sustainably among humans. Now, here's some examples of pandemics through history. There have been a number of significant pandemics in human history. Generally, zoonoses or zoonoses that come about with domestication of animals, such as influenza and tuberculosis. There have been a number of particularly significant epidemics that deserve mention above the mere destruction of cities. In the Peloponnesian War of 430 BC, an unknown agent killed a quarter of the Athenian troops and a quarter of the population over 4 years. The disease fatally weakened the dominance of Athens, but the sheer virulence of the disease prevented its wider spread. It killed off its hosts at a rate faster than they could spread it. That was a disease that killed people so fast they couldn't spread it to the next guy. Number two, the Antonine Plague in 165 to 180, possibly smallpox, brought back from the Near East, killed a quarter of those infected and up to 5 million in all. At the height of a second outbreak in 251 to 266, 5,000 people a day were said to be dying in Rome. Now, let me just pause here for a moment. Let's think about this. 70,000 people have just been killed in northern Pakistan. And that's a tragedy. That is mind-boggling. Now, here are some diseases over here at the peak here in this Antonine Plague, about 180 AD. And a second time in 251 to 266. Now, that's a 15-year period. 5,000 people a day are said to be dying in Rome. Let's suppose that in that 15-year period, 1 year, the 7th to the 8th year, 5,000 days. Take 365 days times 5,000. That's 1,825,000 people. Hey, listen, boys and girls, that's more people than have been made homeless by Hurricane Katrina here in the United States. 1,825,000 people died in 1 year in Rome. In 1 year between 251 and 266 AD. Now, these diseases kill people by the millions. Wait until we get to bubonic plague, 30 million, 50 million. Spanish flu, 30 to 50 million. I mean, we're talking about big time death rates. You know, biblical kinds of numbers that we're using here. And by the way, these are the same kind of numbers that people call scientists today in the year 2005 are predicting. And there's 12 of these pandemic diseases, of which AIDS is just one. Now, AIDS is pretty rife in Asia and Africa. It isn't doing much here in the United States, and you don't hear too much about AIDS. I do because I ask about it, and we get reports that come in over the web. I mean, the information's out there, but it isn't Dan Rather, or it isn't Tom Brokaw, it isn't the CBS Evening News that's giving you the information. You got to go search it out. There's a certain amount of information. There's certain things that you're supposed to know, and you can damn well bet that Fox News is going to tell you what you're supposed to know, and what you're not supposed to know, you got to go dig it out. And what I'm telling you here this week, boys and girls, you're going to have to go dig it out. Now, there's some big stories out here, and you didn't hear about these stories over CBS and Fox News. Let me go on. The plague of Justinian in 541 AD, the first recorded outbreak of the bubonic plague. It started in Egypt, and it reached Constantinople the following spring, killing, according to the Byzantine chronicle, Procopius, 10,000 a day at its height, and perhaps 40% of the city's inhabitants. It went on to destroy up to a quarter of the human population of the eastern Mediterranean. Hey, boys and girls, let's suppose that that's a false report and it wasn't a quarter, it was only 10%. My God, 10% of a whole population? Just picture your city. Take 10% of them and kill them. Now, they reported that a quarter of them were killed. How do we know it wasn't 30, 35, or 40%? And in some locations, it did kill 40%, he says here. 10,000 a day at the height. I don't think that if you had 10,000 bodies a day, you saw FEMA in action. I'm here to tell you, boys and girls, those boys at FEMA couldn't handle 10,000 bodies a day in New Orleans. Hell, they couldn't even deliver water. They couldn't even deliver water for 10,000 people a day. What in the hell do you think they would do with 10,000 bodies? And in 10,000 tomorrow, and 10,000 the next day, and the next day, and the next, and the next, and the next. You think your government's going to save you from this God, this jealous God? There wasn't anybody else in the past that's been able to save anybody out of his hand. In fact, he makes that challenge. He says, is there anybody out there? Have you got any gods running around that can save you out of my hand? He's pretty cocky. Yeah, this God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he is one cocky God, I'll tell you that. And I told you a while ago, I said, you know, he's about as tough as John Wayne toilet paper. Now, the Black Death started in the 1300s, 800 years after the first outbreak. Okay, now let's think about this for a minute. Today, we're pretty cocky here in the Western world. We got antibiotics. And we're sitting over here with our antibiotics, and we say, ha, 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 we can cure bubonic plague. And that's true, you can. Antibiotics will do it. Well, here's an example, though. There was bubonic plague killing 10,000 a day, and 800 years later, then we come up with a second round of bubonic plague, kills about 30 to 100 million people. Nobody knows exactly, but it was a bunch in the Middle Ages over a period of about 4 or 5 years. Bubonic plague has been around in smaller numbers. I mean, it didn't kill 100 million, but it killed a million. It killed 500,000. It killed 300,000 over here at different times in the 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th centuries. I mean, up until just 150 years ago, it was killing people by the thousands. And now you white Anglo-Saxon wasps have been taking antibiotics with every mouthful of food that you've been eating for the last 50 years. And your bodies are now resistant to antibiotics, and we now have super bugs. Can you imagine what's going to happen if you come up with a super bubonic plague bug and the antibiotics don't touch it like they do with syphilis and gonorrhea? I mean, they got super strains of syphilis and gonorrhea. They've got some streptococcus, I believe it is, bacteria that they can shoot all this antibiotics up, and these super bugs eat it, burp, and then pick their teeth with these antibiotics. Now, I'm telling you, boys and girls, this doesn't sound very good to me. I don't have very much in the way of good news here. Now, remember, these are called pandemics, and there's 12 of these pandemic diseases that the experts say that if they go pandemic, you're on your own. We don't know what in the hell we're going to do. You've been listening to this avian flu thing. I gave you a report on this here a week or so ago with, I guess it was last week, we're talking about this avian flu and the Spanish flu and so on. And they say it could take, one estimate I saw, 2 billion people could get this avian flu, 2 billion. And the death rate at 50% would take 1 billion people on planet Earth dead. Hey, you can't bury a billion people. You've got enough. You haven't got enough resources to bury a billion people in 1 year. Now, of course, in past history, it hasn't taken a billion. It's only taken a fourth. A fourth? My God, if this thing goes pandemic worldwide and takes a fourth, wouldn't that be, let's say, 1.5 billion people? Now, when you talk about living in biblical times and talking about biblical numbers, hey, these numbers are coming out of your government. This is your President Bush, the guy you elected. My God, if you can't trust President Bush, who can you trust? I just say that kind of rhetorically. I mean, after all, you voted him in. Cholera, first pandemic, 1816 to 1826. And then it spread across India by 1820. Second pandemic, 29 to 51. This is 1829 to 51. Third pandemic, 1852 to 60. Fourth pandemic, 1863 to 75. Sixth pandemic, 1899 to 1823. The seventh pandemic began in Indonesia in 1961. 61. We're talking about the Middle Ages. The Spanish flu, 1918, 1919, began in August 1918 in three separate locations: Brest, Boston, Massachusetts, and Freetown, South Africa. An unusually severe and deadly strain of influenza spread worldwide. The disease spread across the world, killing 25 million in the course of 6 months. You hear that? 25 million in 6 months? My God, all of the dead in World War I from the war amounted to 25 million, and that took 4 years. It took 4 years for all of the combatant nations to kill 25 million people. God killed 25 million in 6 months. Now remember, he says, I'm going to lay these diseases on you if you don't practice my law. And I don't think those Muslims practice that law of Moses. I don't think the Buddhists do either. The only people in the world today, in the year 2005, that have any claim to practicing any of the Mosaic law are the Christians, of which there's about 1.3 billion of those Christians running around in the world. About 20%, round numbers. Hey, and you Christians out there now are starting to skin on some thin ice. That Mardi Gras, sodomy, unjust weights and balances. I did a little review here not too long ago, so I flipped my pages over here a little bit. There are 133 subjects or titles of law, 133. And out of those 133, we Americans are in violation of 82. We don't practice 82. We still practice, I think it's 53, 51. So we're still practicing 51 laws of the Bible, but we're not practicing 82 laws of the Bible. Boys and girls, those people over there in the Muslim countries, they're not even practicing 51 of those laws. Those Buddhists, they don't practice even 51 of those laws. I mean, you got 133, 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments. Those 759 laws devolve into 133 subjects, just like our U.S. Code. There's 50 titles of law, 50 subject matters. The census is one subject matter of law. And then there's a number of statutes that cover the census. And now you got adultery. There's one adultery law. That's one subject matter of law. There are several statutes that cover adultery. Now, as a result of that, we Americans, we are in violation of the segregation laws. We have integrated America. We call segregation discrimination, and we have abolished segregation. Segregation comes from Genesis 11, verses 1 through 9. Read them and weep, boys and girls. It is probably true that God Almighty had his head up his rectal region, and he did not know what he was doing in social relations. But he laid a law down and he said, you guys better keep separate. And we said, no. We're going to integrate our schools. We're going to integrate our population. We're going to make America the melting pot of the world. Okay. But that's a violation of law, and it's going to come back and bite you in the butt. Christmas. That's a violation of Jeremiah 10, verses 1 through 6. It's against the law to practice Christmas. Here in America, Christmas is the biggest holiday of the year. And witchcraft on Halloween is the second. I mean, boys and girls, we have institutionalized crime in the form of witchcraft and Christmas. We eat pork. We eat Jimmy Dean pure pork sausage in violation of Leviticus 11, verse 7. We practice Easter in violation of Jeremiah 44, verses 17 through 19. We practice interracial marriage. We practice unjust weights, witchcraft. We practice sodomy, abortion, adultery, usury, voting, blood, fat, census, public school, wills, probate, and inheritance tax. Hey, boys and girls, we practice birthdays. We eat unclean meats. We wear mixed fabric clothes. We wear unisex clothes. We practice bestiality. Now, you can sit there and say, well, I don't practice bestiality. Well, good for you. Out of 133 laws, you probably practice 25% of them. And that's good. But those people up there in Pakistan don't practice 25%. And because they don't practice this law over here, they're cursed with a curse. And it even goes to the third and fourth generation of those that hate me. Those that do not practice the law of God hate God. Well, read it for yourself. I didn't say that. That's what he said in Exodus 20. He said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. If you don't, you hate me. And if you hate me, I'll visit this to the third and fourth generation of those that hate me. And that includes pregnant women and young teenage girls and little babies that are in somebody's arms nursing at their mother's breast. Now, I didn't make it that way. I'm just here to report that that's the way it is. And what you just saw happen down here in New Orleans and on the Gulf Coast over here is the tip of the iceberg. We haven't gotten to the serious stuff yet. We Americans and Canadians, Australians and New Zealanders, we still practice. And your forefathers practiced more of this law than you do. And their fathers and mothers practiced more of the law than they did and so on back. You know, back in 1776, our forefathers practiced most of the law of Moses. You didn't have sodomites running around half naked and holding parades on Gay Pride Day. Not in America, you didn't. We practiced these statutes, these judgments, and these commandments, and we were blessed for it, and we became the wealthiest, most powerful nation in the world as a result of it, which is precisely what God said he would do. He says, I'm going to make you the head and not the tail. I'm going to bless you in everything that you set your hand to do. But if you don't practice this law, then here's what I'm going to do. He says, first of all, I'm going to lean on you. And after I get through leaning on you, he said, then I'm going to eat some of your lunch. And if you get too uppity with me, I'm going to come after you in my fury. I mean, he uses the word fury. He is going to be furious with us and punish us seven times more for our sins. I think we need to rethink Mardi Gras. I think we need to rethink abortion, sodomy, unjust weights and balances, the Federal Reserve, voting, democracy. I mean, there's a whole host and plethora of things that we better be starting to think about. Now, we're not going to change society, and I'm not going to change America, but you personally and individually can change yourself. You can practice this law anytime you want, and if you do, there's a benefit, and if you don't, there's a curse. The choice is yours. You know? Don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. All right, we're about out of time. We'll be back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, to talk about this thing of the bubonic plague and natural disasters. What I got here, natural disasters. All right, you've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by free arrangement. Remember, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. I'm going to leave right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.